welcome to the worship service from Daleville Christian Church. This is the last Sunday worship service of 2020. May there be a time for you before 2020 ends and 2021 begins, a time for pause, to take stock, and to find thanksgiving, and to find gratitude as we would enter a new year. We have an affirmation of our faith that sustains us day to day at Daleville Christian Church. We use some 18 to 20 affirmations of faith as we find them in God's Word in the New Testament. Perhaps words that were used by the churches themselves of the apostles, either as songs or chanted or said together as they made claim of the things they believed in. This one from the letter we call 1 Peter in the first chapter. We were ransomed from futile ways by the precious blood of Christ. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for our sake. Through him we have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and hope are in God. The reading of God's Word for today is a traditional reading, although we don't often cover it in church. It's not a pleasant reading, and that's probably a reason we don't make sure to include it in the readings of God's Word in worship. It's one of the least favorite of the parts of what we call the Christmas stories. It is from Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter. I'm going to read verses 7 through 18. Part of it you will remember as familiar in the Christmas stories, and then it takes a dark turn. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This is the last Sunday worship of 2020. This is not our last remote worship service, however. If you are up on the news, you know things might be a little better, but who wants to get sick while the vaccine is being delivered? Gosh, we all got this far. Our Lord has gotten us this far. We can't stop being vigilant now. We have made it to the last Sunday of 2020, and what a year 2020 has been. All this Christmas season, and the Church of Jesus has traditionally celebrated the Christmas season for 12 days from December 25th to January 6th. There is a reason for that 12 days of Christmas song, which many people hate. Well, many don't like it, but mostly because of the repetition in the song. They don't know much about music history. You see, back in the day, repetitive songs were considered fun, like Farmer in the Dell. The 12 Days of Christmas is a good song for children to sing. All this Christmas season here at Daleville Christian Church, the theme for this year's Christmas season has been expectation. All season we have considered expectation, anticipation, promise, and fulfillment. What has been promised us by God that we celebrate at Christmas, at the child Jesus' birth? The last Sunday of the year, especially in 2020, is a time for looking back. And I'll return to that idea in a few moments. Traditionally, this is the Sunday for the most disliked reading of that part of the Christmas story. By tradition, the Church Fathers have called this the story of the slaughter of the innocents. This is the Sunday for the traditional reading of the story of King Herod the Great's treachery in attempting to kill the infant Jesus. In so trying to kill the infant Jesus, King Herod the Great, he's called Herod the Great to separate him from his many family members, sons and grandsons who were also Herods. And those of you who have read your Bibles know that. There is Herod, whom we call Great, and the Bible speaks of Herod Antipater, Herod Archelaus, and Herod Tetrarch. There is also Herodias, a wife of one of the Herods, and the Jewish party of the Herodians. But that there are sons and grandsons of King Herod, is a reminder to us of a problem we thought we solved by electing our leaders here in the United States, and that was the problem of succession of the king. Americans made a mess of our presidential election in 2020, but in elections we try to skip the question of whose kid gets to be king next. See, if you're related to the king, you have a shot at becoming the next king. And some who think they are next in line, or their moms, because the king might have had several moms for his sons, so it might be you or it might be your mom who wants their son to be the next in line. And those people may not wait for the king to die to become king. They might help make the king's death happen. Then they can make their claim to the throne. Herod the Great knew all this. Herod the Great thought about that problem a lot. Herod thought about this problem so much that he had two of his own sons murdered. He believed that they would come after him and take Herod's throne. So before they could, he had them eliminated. And you thought being king of a country would be a great life, right? Being top of the heap is not what Americans think it is. King Herod felt that he had to watch his back all the time. It's a heck of a way to live. But this most unpleasant story is in the Bible for a reason. The story reminds us that even as the living God is trying to save us, there is still evil in the world. The living God has sent his Son, the Messiah, to come to earth to save us. But just because of the arrival of the Messiah does not mean evil has come to an end. Messiah has come so that we could have a one-on-one relationship each of us a love relationship with our God through Jesus. And one of God's own people, a Jewish king, Jewish by birth, not Jewish by practice of faith. One of the people that God wants to save will try to destroy God's promised Messiah. This Jewish king is going to try to destroy God's plan to save us. All Herod can think of is that someone else whom he does not know is going to come and try to knock Herod's crown off of his head. Herod thinks that someone else is claiming to be king of the Jews. Since Herod is already a Jewish king, this question at the gate of Herod's palace by some traveling strangers sets Herod thinking about one thing. I must stop this thing. I must destroy this person, whoever they are, this baby born who would claim to be king. This episode and its inclusion in the Bible reading for this Sunday has produced a verse in an ancient Christmas hymn. The hymn still has its old Latin title, goes by the title Luli Lule, the Coventry Carol. The traditions for this song go as far back as 1392, 100 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Manuscripts of the tune of this hymn go back to 1591, but scholars say the tune is really much older, and I will play it at the close of this service. The verse states, Herod the king, in his raging, charged he hath this day his men of might in his own sight all young children to slay. There is a reason that this horrible story is included in the Bible. The story confirms the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here are some other versions of that verse. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready for salvation. God presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. But Jesus couldn't die as an infant. There was much more to accomplish on earth before Jesus would be killed by evil men at Jesus' crucifixion. So even though there was still evil in the world when Jesus was born, while people were and are still evil, Jesus came to save us. Even save those who received the promise and would try to kill the promise off. For Herod himself was, in name at least, a Jew being born of a Jewish mother. But that's the other reason this report is in the Bible. The Lord had to do something to protect the promise from evil intentions until the right time. So God did do something to protect the infant Messiah. Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, was given a dream to flee to safety in Egypt. Joseph, a devout Jewish man, is obedient to the dream. And so this fulfilled another prophecy. So as much as we might want to skip this part of the Christmas story, this report is a reality check for all of us. People can and will do evil, even people who should know better. People can and will do evil, even while someone, even God, tries to help them. God will not be put off in God's desire to save us. And God's plan is going to go forward. That would raise a question. since God's plan is going forward. And the question is, where are you with God's plan? Are you in? Do you want to be a part of God's plan to receive God's Messiah? As I mentioned, this is the last Sunday of the year, this time of the year, but especially in 2020, it's a time for looking back. When we force ourselves to look at this threat to God's promise, as is traditional today, to look at Herod the Great's treachery, we see God at work for us. God at work for us in spite of us. Remember that God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Messiah died for us. Now Jesus would die, and at the hands of evil men, at the cross of crucifixion. And that was also planned by God. That plan would go forward. Now, as difficult a year as 2020 has been for just about the whole of planet Earth, I suggest an exercise to you. No, not a physical exercise. No special equipment will be necessary. I suggest an exercise of gratitude. If you are not doing this every morning when you get up or before you go to bed, the end of the year is definitely a time to do gratitude exercises. The end of 2020 is definitely a time to do this exercise of gratitude. And we don't do this exercise because it might be easy. We do it exactly because it might not be easy to be thankful and grateful for some things that took place in 2020. Like physical exercise, you might have to stretch your gratitude muscles. It's time to actually list your thanksgivings or gratitudes for 2020. One psychologist suggests that this is a crucial time to find multiple silver linings within this unpredictable year that could carry into the beginning of next year. Now, I've already done this exercise myself, so let me make some suggestions to you for your exercises of gratitude. Give yourself credit for anything you learned during the pandemic. You may have learned to make masks. You may have found the safest times to shop or buy groceries. You may have learned to take all the safest measures when you did go out. And maybe, like Governor Cuomo stated last year, maybe by staying in, you saved someone's life. Maybe you learned to Zoom or Google Meet, or maybe you learned to attend worship online. My sister, who sings with a church choir, had to learn to sing her part solo into the phone. Her conductor put the individual parts together for the recorded worship services. Now, there was a cartoon of a woman who listed all the things she had learned and accomplished in 2020 because of the pandemic. She took walks for her health. She lost some weight. She spent more time with her children. She cleaned out two closets. And then she cried and said, "I want my old life back." Some people do have trouble being grateful for some changes in their lives. A Facebook friend shared this story recently, and it's to the point for today's message. The friend wrote, "I was trying to find the positive on this wild winter's day. While snow blowing, I realize this is the first storm since December 27, 2018, where I have not relied on the kindness of neighbors or had to pay a plow person to help with our snow removal. In that span of time, snow removal was too exhausting and extremely difficult because I was recovering from surgeries and couldn't do it all myself. I know that this man has been suffering with cancer, a young father with children. He finishes by saying, "Anyone who knows me knows I hate snow. But I'm feeling grateful because today I could shovel my own snow." Some people have trouble being grateful for some changes in their lives. That may be why we have to make ourselves do it. We might have to stretch to make ourselves grateful for some changes that the year 2020 brought to us. Make it an offering to the Lord. Remember that the Lord has brought you this far. The Lord has brought us this far. We may not have cared much for this part of our journey, but we were never forsaken. We were never left behind. Jesus said, "I am with you even until the end of the world. Amen." And so let me cue up for you Coventry Carol.